This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Hey you, are you wasting your time on social media again? Your brothers and sisters in Islam Net from Norway are establishing a masjid, a dawah center. Establishing a masjid to convey the message of Islam is one of the best deeds a Muslim can do. There's a huge need for it in Norway. You know this and I know this. So that makes the reward even greater. So give generously and Allah Azza wa Jal will give you even more.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm here joined with the main man himself, the individual who's known to be a major influencer in the Muslim world. It's an individual where the young ones and the children in the secondary schools and the primary schools, they all know who he is. We're talking about Ali Needs.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. It's a pleasure to be on this platform after a long time on the same couch.
Absolutely. And how, what kind of an honor must it be to be standing, I mean, sitting with this the man himself?
I mean, it's, some people get lost for words. Some people, like you, act ecstatically, you know. Yes. It changes from person to person, you know. Yes. But I can see the joy in your eyes. I can see it when I look at your eyes, the happiness.
Absolutely.
That, that you think... have, that I'm here at your presence.
Yeah. Well, I think that the enthralled exuberance that, you know, that you're manifesting, the shivering excitement that you displayed when you saw me the first. I think that's a very typical natural reaction.
Timid.
Anyway,
so what do we have here, Hijab? What have you got for us today,
inshallah. There's a individual, I don't know if to call him a brother now, because I'm not sure if he's become a Muslim or if he's looking into Islam, but it's an individual called Andrew Tate. Now this guy, he's you know who he is, right?
He's notorious. Yes, I've been studying him very carefully, actually.
In fact, I was meant to be speaking to him on a podcast and it fell through. Our schedules conflicted and stuff, and I think it was actually my fault, to be honest with you, because I didn't
I'm sure you can rearrange that.
We can rearrange. But I've actually been sent some videos from brothers and Muslim people of his videos. And this is what I haven't watched so far. So what I want to do is actually watch it with you. And then react.
Yes, just to give it, just so people are aware. We have been studying this issue very closely. This issue of this whole Red Pill movement, you know.
Would you consider Andrew Tate part of the movement himself, or?
Yeah, definitely, 100% he is. And I think it's, we are, like, I want people to be aware that we are aware. Okay. We were just waiting for the right time to come. So this might be just like a little taster.
Yeah, before you continue with that, I was going to say that I did watch his interaction with Eddie from The Dean Show.
Yes.
And he came across very humbly and respectfully. But then I was also told that, you know, this individual is, you know, he's on these kind of platforms with women who are low quality individual women, you know, that, you know, dress in a certain manner and they don't have much to offer in life, low quality women. And he lives as kind of like, what would seemingly from the outside or from a religious perspective look to be a hedonistic lifestyle.
Well, exactly.
But on the other hand, of course, he's you know, established in certain fields, but then he's been criticized for certain things which I don't know much about.
We need to touch up on this because there's another extreme that's been, you know, like the Red Pill movement.
Yeah.
But the thing is, we will go into detail more.
Before we get into detail, the reason why I bring this up is because as Muslims, it's important for young men to take inspiration and to take as role models, we believe anyway, from the prophets.
Exactly.
The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the final prophet. We have Prophet Moses and Jesus and Abraham and all those. And how to be a man, for example, the aspect of masculinity is to be derived from the sacred texts, to be derived from the Sirah Nabawiyyah, from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life. So I'm not saying this man doesn't display masculine, so-called masculine. Clearly he does, to the point where some Muslim men are looking up to him in some ways. But if you want the full package of masculinity, of human integrity, then we believe that's from the prophets and the companions and so on. So this idea of trying to find role models outside the community. And for Andrew himself, which I'm guessing is watching this video, I'd say to you that to be a complete man, we would say, to be a complete man, to be self-dignified in the fullest sense of the word.
To reach a pinnacle.
Spiritual,
to reach a pinnacle
apex,
of manhood.
Perspective is to follow the prophets.
Exactly.
And that will show you what virtue is. But let's watch what the brother says.
Let's watch this, inshallah.
Let me tell you something. Revolutions are nothing more than a bunch of men in one place. It's not women. It's men. If you put enough men on a city square pissed off, a revolution happens. That's what the people in charge of the world are afraid of. So to make sure there's no revolution, what they do is they construct as many divisions amongst the peasants as possible. They make sure the blacks hate the whites, the men hate the women, the Republicans hate the Democrats, and we're all so busy fighting with each other they can laugh from the top because there's not very many of them and there's a bunch of us. I'm telling you, the reason in countries like America, the reason the law is so destructive against men is very, very purposeful. They don't want you to feel like a king. They don't want you to feel powerful. You wake up amongst three bitches. If you have 10 sons from 10 baby mamas, you're going to wake up and feel like the man. You ain't taking shit easy. If you wake up on your third year of a sexless marriage paying taxes and your kids don't even listen to you, you don't really feel like rebellion. You don't have it inside of you. This is why there's so much male suicide. This is why men are so depressed. This is why everyone's so unhappy, because the life they try and create for men, the things they try and purport, the ideas they try and make us subscribe to are depressing. They want you as a tax slave. They want you as a tax slave. They want you in a sexless marriage with some old fat bitch who hates you. That's what they want. Afraid to leave because they'll take your house and destroy your life's work. And they want you to sit there and pay your taxes until you fucking die. This is all done on purpose. None of this is an accident. It's all very purposeful. And in countries which are not like this, in countries where men still have that masculine essence, in countries where they're still in control of their own household, when the government tries to become tyrannical, it's far more difficult to do, because the men get together and say, you know what, women, clean the house. I'll be back in 2 hours. I'm going to tell these guys to get f***ed. And that's the reality of it. This is a control mechanism, along with everything else. Everything you see on TV, this is my final rant. Everything you see on TV is a control mechanism. All the shit they put on Netflix is a control mechanism. Telling you that you have mental problems you don't have is a control mechanism. Telling you, you can't focus on anything for 2 minutes because you have ADHD, or you're depressed and you can never fix it. They're trying to control you. They're trying to dampen your life force. Making sure your woman doesn't listen to you is a control mechanism. Making sure you can never leave her without being financially destroyed is a control mechanism. It's all control mechanisms, all of it from head to toe. You have to resist the slave mind. You have to look at it all and understand they are trying to make a slave of you. And when I say slave, I do not mean slave likely. I mean the word slave. They are printing money from the sky and you're giving up your life for it. If they can create something in unlimited amounts anytime they want and you'll give up your life and time for that said thing, you are their slave. They don't need to use power and control and whips anymore. They just have the money print button. It's slavery. And they need to make sure that even if you know that, you don't feel powerful enough to do anything about it. All of this. Every single thing about the modern world was deliberately constructed to get us to a point where they can come along and lock you in your house for something with a 99.9% survival rate, and you're going to sit there and take it like a bitch anyway. That's what all this shit is, including being in a position where you can't even tell your own woman she's not allowed out with her friends to get drunk with a bunch of dudes, because you're not even allowed to do that. If a wife comes home and goes, I want to go out drinking tonight, you go, you're not going nowhere. Oh, I want to go out with my friends from work. You're not going out with them men. That's coercive and controlling behavior. Bro, you can't even tell your bitch not to go get drunk with dudes.
They'll call that abusive.
You're an abusive misogynist. You're Andrew Tate. Cancel him. It's insanity, and it's all done on purpose. I don't want anyone to sit here and think this is some accident we've arrived at, or that we're here now and it's no big deal. This is very, very purposeful, because when you destroy the warriors of a society, that's how you usher in slavery. First thing the Romans did when they conquered the Greeks is kill all the warriors, all the fighting age males. You leave the soy boys and the bitches, and then you can conquer it. Done. That's what they're doing to us. They're trying to destroy the warriors. So my G's, the ones who are left, don't worry about it. We got bigger fights coming up. We got bigger wars coming ahead of us. So if you want to fuck some, go fuck. Because I really believe the next 10 years are going to be difficult for men of stature. I really believe that.
So like, to me personally, bro, there is truths into what they say, what he's saying. But obviously we don't agree with like a lot of the stuff. Like, forget the delivery and swearing words, put that to a side. There is an attack. Like, for example, why is it that if I was to tell my wife that she cannot go out with... We don't live that lifestyle, but like, let's suppose, you know, I was a non-Muslim and I had a wife, and I told my wife, you know, I don't want you to go out with your friends. Why is that abusive? Why is it? And he's right, bro. Like, if you look at war in history, and the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, also this implemented throughout history, that when you go to war with a specific nation who has transgressed over and over again, usually the men are executed. Period. Why? And why? It's you can see, because at the end of the day, a man plays a pivotal role in the future. And also when it comes back to our nature, we are going to be rebellious. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So that's within our nature. But why is it seen as oppressive? Or like, for example, when I took more of the end bit towards what he said, is that a man cannot even tell his wife, I don't want you to do A. So how do we expect anything? Like,
I don't know. I was listening to what you said, and it seemed like there was more than one kind of commentary here. It's almost like a political commentary, and then
there was
a social commentary, and then you had like a domestic gender commentary.
Yeah, but it went from macro to micro.
Yeah, yeah, and
because it's authority politically, it's authority.
I'm with you, but okay. So these elites that he's talking about, right? So how do they benefit from? There are questions I have on these theories. Like, how would these elites benefit from the lack of a warrior class? For example, if America, take that as an example, as a superpower, were to have a weaker military force, what would that do for its hegemonic power? And this idea of divide and conquer, like put these people here and put these people here, that's more tenable, I think. You can make an argument for that. How that links to like what red pillars like Tomasi and others are called, like the gynocentric order and these kind of things, is more difficult for me to try and understand. But what he's saying in terms of the gender discussion is interesting. Why? Because when Moro Farren was talking about in his book The Myth of Male Power, and he's talking about the definition of power, and he said the definition of power is the ability of someone to take control of their own lives. Yeah.
Okay.
And what he's doing is, in effect, he's taking that definition of power, knowingly or unknowingly, right? And he's saying, look, you're not really in control of your own life, because a man is not in control of his domestic affairs.
Yes.
He's not in control of X, Y, Z, all these things that historically he has been in control of.
Yeah.
And this is causing a psychological backlash for that man.
Yes, of course.
Now, if that's the way it's been phrased, then there's great truth in obviously in that notion, right?
Yes.
And it's a counterbalance to the feministic narrative, which says that, well, what we have is an oppressive, oppressor-oppressed relationship. You've got the patriarchy, you've got men being oppressed by women being oppressed by men, and that's how it works. Well, if you redefine what power constitutes here, power is the ability of a man to take control, a person to take control of their lives. He's outlining examples, suicide and lack of domestic control or payments, or the fact that a woman can take half of the man's income even though she hasn't contributed to it. You know, exactly. These kind of things, which frankly, Islamically, from our perspective, completely we are against these things. In addition, I'll add to it, for example, to the things like custody of the children, or the fact that a woman can take complete custody and just through the power of accusing a man stop and prevent a man from seeing his own children. Okay,
exactly.
These things are really these things in society are deep rooted injustices we would see from an Islam perspective.
Yes, exactly.
Unfortunately, what we're seeing in the Muslim community is that some women are actually jumping onto the bandwagon and taking these.
I'll rephrase that. A lot of women.
Yeah, yeah.
So, not some women. Yeah. A lot of women.
And so this is where this discourse is actually legitimate.
Yes.
But where it comes together into some kind of grand conspiracy, I think we would need to unpack it a little bit and clean it up a little bit here. But there's certainly some grievances which need to be redressed. What else would you say, bro?
I mean, like you said before, like the whole thing of, you know, world order. Look, I'm not really concerned about that right now. Do you get it? Like, if there's an outright attack in my very household, I need to fix what's in my household, bro. I don't like right now. I'm not care about like the Jahs come in and the Antichrist and you know. Right now, I have to deal with what's happening in my house. And the thing is, like I said before, is that we speak to a lot of brothers, you know. And this issue, what we need to understand is that there's another extreme happening now, because the nature of men and women have been so corrupted, and men are not men anymore and women are not women anymore, we're seeing it entering our households, and we are seeing the ripple effects of that. And people like Andrew Tate, which I've been told that the Muslim youth are looking up to him and speaking to, listening to him. Why is that happening? Wherever there is an action, there's going to be a reaction. And that's exactly what we're seeing, bro. Because when men are feeling, and that's why Jordan Peterson is become so popular. Why? Because he listens, and they say to him, well, why is a lot of men listening to you? Well, why? Because maybe it's the fact that we are being starved of our true nature. Why can I not be?
Yeah, yeah, I think this is an important point.
This is the crux of the matter, bro. Yeah, yeah, and we are seeing it slowly, slowly poisoning our ummah. So much so that now we have our Muslim youth who are looking up to Andrew Tate. Now, this is the reason why, you know, and we have these private discussions, yeah? Me and you and a lot of brothers that we talk to, we can see this coming. And we are actually preparing for it, because we can see the family unit is being destroyed in front of our very eyes. So the thing is, either we come with the approach of the Quran and the Sunnah, not extremes, because there's a lot of extremes out there. Brothers are going, I'll be honest with you, I believe there are people out there who are going to the extreme level of trying to be the Muslim Andrew Tate. And we're looking at it. No, let's be real here. They are genuinely doing it. And the thing is the more they're trying to show
Andrew,
that...
Andrew Tate can become the Muslim Andrew Tate himself.
He does, but there's a lot of things that he needs to tweak. I think if you have a discussion with him and arrange it, please. I mean, he needs to understand that as a Muslim, when it comes to Islam, the issue of polygamy is there. It's a perfect solution. It's actually a better solution to what he has, because he believes that he can sleep around and do what he likes, and you know he has to come to home and there's one obedient wife.
I saw him with Eddie. He said that something about four is all you need or something like
that. Okay, good. Well, but Islam is a solution for you.
But I think you made a series of very, very good points. You know, and what I would want to add to that is the following: this idea that you said that, you know, a man is being starved of his true nature.
Yes.
First of all, you have to admit that there is a nature of a man,
of
right?
Of course.
Obviously, now we're living in an age of post-structuralism and social constructionism. Mm. So the idea is there is no nature of man. This is what we've been told. This is also a social construct. But then for me, do you know this whole transgender kind of movement, right? Well, when they say, I have gender dysphoria, I want to transition from man to female because I've always felt like a man.
Yeah.
That presupposes a true nature of a man in the first place. So there's a contradiction here that lies within the social constructionist ideology, which is, that they, on the one hand, you can't actually transition, let's put it in racial terms.
Okay.
You can't transition from being white to black unless there's such a thing as being black and such a thing as being white.
Exactly.
Likewise, you can't transition from being white from a male to female unless there's such a thing as being a man and such a thing as being a woman.
Exactly.
So unless we're
born with gender.
What you were saying about the true nature of man, a lot of people I know, especially from the left-wing inclination, like proclivities from that side, are going to say, well, actually, this is all gender construct. But then if it's a gender construct, then the transitions from one construct to another would be almost meaningless, almost completely.
Exactly. It's self-defeating.
It makes no sense to me. So that's the first thing. There is a true nature of a man.
Yes.
And there is a masculine archetype out there.
Yep.
And it can be manifest. And this is what our religion teaches. Yeah.
Yes.
And it does include things which are not in the feminine archetype, which, for example, may include increased aggressivity. It may include, but it's not limited to, increased kind of sexuality. And it's almost like as if many men today, and I think we would agree even within Muslim and non-Muslims, feel like they've been starved of being able to manifest that reality without being shamed by society.
Exactly. And that's why you have the other extremes.
If they engage in some kind of self-defense situation, or if they want to be in a polygamous reality, whatever it may be, because you want those things, are to be shamed. How dare you? You should, in fact, feel guilty. You should feel guilty for that. And in fact, this whole polygynous nature that you have is a construct.
And you're
harming people from feeling
and,
like
and,
that.
And it's a nature. Let's get this right.
Yeah.
Polygamy, being polygamous, is not a choice. It's your nature. Let's get that very correctly.
Yeah. Unless you're homosexual. Or maybe
No,
you have low testosterone.
Even if you're homosexual, you might still be polygamous.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, exactly. as even they looked at, for example, gay men, and they realized that when it comes to, they are still visually stimulated. Yeah? Gay men, it's the same. Like, you don't see that with women, but with men, like, we're visual creatures. So the thing is, it shows that if that's the case, then a gay man could also still be polygamous with his nature, wanting to be with different men, maybe.
In fact, yes.
The point is this, though, that's within their nature. And that's what it's seeked into brothers, bro. I speak to brothers and they're like, oh, no, bro, I'm happy with one. I'm like, yo, hold on a second, bro. Where'd you get that from? And like, I'm hold on a second, because I have to look at the brother in the eye. And I said, look, bro. Like, and I would break it down and he'll be like, oh, no, if my wife was okay this time, I'm like, well, hold on a second. So that's your nature. So what's stopping you is that the wife is being upset. Now, another thing that you mentioned is that gender cannot be social constructs, because Jordan Peterson talks about this. He goes, if you look at Scandinavian countries, which are egalitarian, that you will see that usually he says this. He says men are interested in things and women are interested in people. And when you see egalitarian countries like the Scandinavian countries, you see the disparity growing.
Yeah.
So he's saying, well, how can that be the case? Because if it's socially constructed, when you put these things and when you let them be, okay, egalitarian, then how is it that these women, like women tend to go to childcare and men tend to be engineers?
Yeah, exactly. This is exactly the point that I think probably is where Peterson got it from.
Yeah.
Because he hosts Warren Farron's magnum opus, or his main book, which is The Myth of Male Power, which where he was talking about when you look at the trends of what women are interested in by nature.
Yeah.
Romance novels, romance. This is not something which they're being forced to buy.
Yes.
You're not, no one's forcing a woman to do it. And it's cross-cultural. Like, if you see this, the fact that it's cross-cultural and it's historical,
yes,
it's an extremely difficult and problematic case to make, to say, well, actually, women don't like love stories, and yeah, they don't like romance, and they don't like novels. This is a social construct. Because if it's a social construct, it seems like there was an interestingly immense collaborative effort.
Yes.
In
across, it's a mass conspiracy.
It's a mass, no, not just a mass conspiracy. Yeah. The biggest mass conspiracy known to man, or I should say woman as well, which is that all societies have come together and says, oh, women, do this.
Yeah.
Even the ones in the most desolate and derelict of places,
yeah.
and men do this. You know, there was a study that I remember looking at some time ago called Bandura, Ross and Ross.
Yeah.
When they were looking at the effects of children, what kind of toys they like. You know, the boys like guns and these kinds of things, and the girls like, you know, dolls and this kind of
thing.
If you want to try and eliminate that from the nature of man and say there's no nature, then we have a problem here. So the first thing is we have to admit there is a nature, there is a fixed masculine archetype. And by not being that thing, by not being able to manifest that thing, by not being... then this is going to cause resentment.
Yes.
It's going to cause hate. It's going to cause... And as you correctly said, I think every action has an equal and opposite reaction.
Yes.
If there's a segment of our population, whether it's women or otherwise,
yes.
who think that men are... this is going to put men in order and check, or they're going to get the best out of life by doing this.
Yes.
All they're doing is... It's an act of self-deception. Exactly.
There was a pediatrician. Pediatrician, if that... If
yes,
that,
yes.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So he done a study. So what he did is he got to this... young girl. So he got a young girl. So there was two parents. So he wanted to carry a study out on her. So what he did is he got this young girl and he gave this girl from a very young age trucks to play with.
Yeah.
So she would start playing with trucks, etc.
Yeah.
And then once, when they were carrying out the study, what he did is like they asked the parents to go in the room. And when they went to the room, they actually saw the young girl hugging the truck and there was a little truck. and the girl actually labeled the big truck the daddy and the mummy and the little truck the baby. So you can see, even when you've given them a truck, which is a, and it's a boy's toy, she turned it into a mother and turned the little truck into the baby.
Exactly.
So you can see that it's innately within their nature. And to deny this is to be stupid.
I think you've done a good job in putting the case, and we've obviously answered. One thing I would say to Andrew Tate is that, like, this whole thing about there's going to be a war coming, and this, I think, is part of his nature, that he's conflict orientated, and that's for good reason. Like, I think he was a fighter before or something. Yeah. Like, he's a retired
fighter. Might be for marketing reasons.
I think every man wants to do this. It's part of our nature that we are conflict oriented.
My nature kicked in.
Some are more effective than others. You know, but what I was gonna say was that
my violent side.
This war against, I don't know, the government or whoever he thinks is gonna be a war against.
Yeah.
I think this is a fiction that he's created, a dramatized fiction that he's created for himself in order to fulfill his own nature. I say to him, look, you don't need to rely on these kinds of fictions. We have the religious narrative.
Exactly.
And for us as Muslims, there's always a kind of jihad going on, whether it's an inner struggle or there's going to be an outer defense or something like that.
Yeah.
So I think that one, and this is what I would say to Tate and others that follow him from Muslim and non-Muslim sides, is that look at the religion of Islam, because it's not just about gender. You shouldn't come into religion about the gender issue or through the gender issue. The religion of Islam is fundamentally about believing and worshipping one God worthy of worship, the all-knowing, all-wise God that tells all human beings how to live their life in a way which wouldn't make them cognitively dissonant, would make them upset, make them depressed, make them feel like they're not manifesting their nature, and in a way which is commensurate and congruent with the spiritual right path, which is what we call the Sirat al-Mustaqim.
Yes.
So I would say, look into the Quran properly, read it, read the biographies of the prophets, read the biographies of the companions of the prophet. You'll see masculinity exemplified in the in the most manifest way you've ever seen it in your life. And of course, for femininity, women can look at the mothers of the believers, Mary, the story of Mary in the Quran, and so on and so forth. And one thing I would end this video with is the following. The Quran says something really powerful on this whole issue of gender issues, which is, وَلَا تَمَنَّوا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. That do not wish what the other one has, basically, what Allah has given. لِلْرِجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبْنَ وَاسْأَلُ اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. To men is a portion of what they have earned, and to women is a portion of what they... In other words, it's a we believe in a complementarity between men and women. This is the system. There are roles and responsibilities that men and women have, and Islam puts it both together in such a beautiful way.
Perfect way.
It's a perfect way.
Wallahi.
It's a symbiotically perfect way, which allows both to manifest their natures in the best way possible, and in a way which both will feel spiritually connected to the Most High and most familiarly and domestically connected to each other. Exactly. As well.
And let me tell you something, just to end on this here. That's what we see.
No, that's where it's going. Okay. go.
My masculine side kicked in. The thing is,
which doesn't exist. And that one is a gender construct.
When you look at a lot of women who's coming to Islam, it's because they truly understand and they come into connection with their true nature. Yeah? Now, what's happening with the Red Pill movement is that a lot of these men, that's what Andrew Tate said, if I was to bet on anything in the next 5-10 years, it would be Islam. Yeah? Why?
Oh, yeah, that's right,
what he said.
Right, yeah.
Why do you say that? Because at the end of the day, his, I'm not going to say his true manly masculine nature, because I believe they are transgressing. They're transgressing a bit. When he comes to Islam, Islam will balance that to what being a real man is. Because I believe his likes and the Red Pill movement are transgressing those limits of being masculine. I think they're going a bit overboard.
Yeah,
so I believe there's going to be a phenomenon of a lot of men
like coming to Islam. Of women,
yes, bro. Yeah, but let's get that very straight. Yeah,
yeah,
this is this.
Thing,
yeah. You're going abroad.
The like profanities.
Allah, exactly. Like Allah says in the Quran, you know,
lack of compassion.
Yeah. He's allowed for us to, you know, he's given us like married 2s, 3s, 4s, etc. And those after that who transgress, because Allah saying, look, I've allowed you to do
justice to marry anyone.
Exactly. But Allah's put things in place for as a man for me to have intimacy in the right place.
Yeah.
But those who go and commit zina, you've transgressed now. Because Allah's giving you options.
Right.
So the same with the Red Pill movement, you guys are transgressing. When you come to Islam, you'll have a balanced way of being a true man and not trying to go extra miles by posting ridiculous, pathetic stuff that you do to your wife.
Overcompensate.
Doing to your wife, like which is vroom. Which I'm not going to get into detail, but that's it. I think there's more to come. This is just a tip of the iceberg. This is a phenomenon that's affecting our ummah, and be rest assured that me, Muhammad Hijab, Zeeshan, we are closely working on something that will have a fine balance, that we don't have our brothers looking up to people like Andrew Tate, and our sisters who are going to maybe put suffering. But when I mean suffering is because at the end of the day, we need to blame ourselves as well. Because as a Muslim woman, if you don't have your true nature and being yourself and respecting your husband, don't be surprised when you have mini Andrew Tates or mini Andrew Tates coming to your household. Because we can't just blame that. For every action, there's a reaction. Our sisters are also causing a lot of Muslim men to turn to that direction. So inshallah, we will have something that will be balanced from the Quran and the Sunnah that helps us to re-establish the family unit.
And that's what it is. It's in the Quran and the Sunnah. And this is what we call everyone to, you know, inshallah. The Quran and the Sunnah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that whoever builds a mosque for Allah, Allah will build for him a similar house in Jannah. And we know the great reward that will not only be gained, but rather will fill your grave after your death. Whenever someone prays there, whenever someone gives shahada in the masjid, whenever someone learns something in the masjid, yes, that will be something that you'll have on your scale.